This story's been an interesting story, hasn't it, about Ruth and about where she come from. Hey, Dee. And where she's going to end up at. Well, tonight we close it out. Does anybody remember how we left it hanging last week? Anybody? Sierra? Yeah? Yeah? Very good. I hear you. That's college education, church. Pays off. Get you an edumacation. It definitely helps. Yes, Ruth made her play last week on the advice of her mother-in-law. See, all mother-in-laws aren't bad. This mother-in-law was very good and gave her great advice. And Ruth took the bait and said, okay, I will do what you said. And she trusted her mother-in-law's advice, trusted God with this situation. She uncovered his feet to kind of make herself known that she was interested in him. And now, and if you didn't get all the story last week, it sounds really, really bad, okay? But you had to be here last week to understand the context. So it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful story of humility and of love and of God's covenant being met. So Sierra's exactly right. We left off last week in the last verse, her mother-in-law saying, we must wait on his response and see what he says, if he accepts your offer to be with you or not. It's kind of like how I always joke about little letters you write as kids, right? Do you like me? Check yes or no. Remember that? Anybody else ever do that? Please say somebody besides me. Okay. All right. Thank you. Just my generation. Stacy, Nikki, yeah. It's our generation thing. So, but yes, it's a Generation X thing. We would write little letters. Do you like me? And had a box. Yes or no. Check yes or no. I remember that. Mom actually found one of the letters she saved when I was a little boy that I wrote a little girl. And did I put her name in the letter? So we know which one it was. Okay. That sounds so bad. What I mean is, you know, y'all know I was a player, right? I was a player. So anyway, Mom found a little note that she says she brought to the church here one day, and it had that on there. Do you like me? Yes or no? And guess what box was checked? Yes. Now, she might have been a dog. I don't know. But she checked yes. I'm just so playing. I'm just playing, y'all. So anyway, I thought that was sweet. But this is kind of what Ruth was doing. Check yes or no. Do you like me? So now we're waiting on the response. We pick up in chapter 4. We'll finish it up tonight. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then went Boaz. That's, of course, the guy that she's, you know, is trying to get to become her husband. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by unto him and says, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down. And he turned aside and sat down. Now, to recap what's happening here as well, if you remember, Boaz was a kinsman of Ruth. And in the law and in that custom, it was customary for someone to take in a widowless child, take care of them, give them children, and take care of them all their days like a husband would. But the problem was Boaz, there was someone a little bit closer to Ruth than Boaz. There was another relative a little bit closer. And with Boaz's great integrity, he told her last week, last week we talked about it. He told her a long time ago. But last week we talked about how he told her that he said, there's one that's closer than me, so let me talk to him first and see if he will do what you want him to do. If not, then I will take the responsibility and I will be your kinsman redeemer. So Boaz had great integrity. I think Boaz already liked Ruth and wanted to be that in her life, but he knew there was one closer in lineage than him. So he's talking to this guy now. He found him. He said, sit down. I got to talk to you about something. So he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, sir, sit down here. And they sat down. So he's got 10 witnesses around him. He said to the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of our people, if thou wilt redeem it, then redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides you. And then I am after you. And he says, I will redeem it. Now it's two parts. He's first talking about Naomi's part. We redeem that. He agreed to that. So I imagine his heart sank a little bit there, thinking, man, he's going to do this. I'm probably not going to have Ruth. But he had a second part to this. It wasn't just redeeming Naomi. Verse 5. Then said Boaz, what day you buyest a field of the hand of Naomi, you must buy also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest my own inheritance, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So he was willing to take care of Naomi's property and do that, but he didn't want to take on Ruth and all of that obligation and all of that. So God was working everything out here. So I bet Boaz had a sigh of relief. Okay, good. He can't do it, so it's up to me. So now I can do it. Now this was the manner, verse 7, in former time. This is how it used to be. Now remember, this was the day of judges. There's a lot of corruption going on during this time period. They'd gotten away from observing a lot of the legalistic law they're supposed to observe as God's people. But they had a custom back then. And here's what he is saying. He was old school. And Boaz is wanting to do it by the book of how it's supposed to be. So he says, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, that a man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. So he had all these 10 witnesses here, and what he was going to do is take off a shoe. Remember, they didn't have court records. They didn't have all this. They didn't have attorneys. I mean, like they do all this legal stuff they have now. This was a way of recording it as being a legal binding agreement. Taking off the shoe in front of 10 other people and handing it off, saying, this is a sign. I am going to redeem Ruth. I'm going to take care of her. I'm redeeming her property. It's a legal matter. I want all of y'all to see it happening, because they had to have some kind of visual to make it known. I mean, you know, Gail, wouldn't that impress you? You know, you're at you're downtown Stafford Square, and they call 10 men over, and you're there, and the mayor takes off his shoe and hands it to you and says, this is to always remind you that I'm taking care of this woman the rest of my life. That'd stick with you, wouldn't it? The mayor handed me his shoe in downtown, saying he'd take care of it. So it was something that would be a testimony for down the road that they could remember, more than just saying, yeah, I'll take care of it, man. I get a little fist bump here or there. I got you. Yeah, it's good. It's all cool. My words, my bond. Da-da-da-da. That can easily be forgotten and argued. But for 10 people to say, man, I remember the 10-and-a-half-foot sandal you slid him. I was there when you gave that shoe to him. And I was there. I saw it. It was brown with a black strap and had a hole in the big toe part. We'd wore it out. I remember, because I had a pair just like that I ordered online. I had a pair just like that. And so it made a visual statement of a binding agreement. Boaz took this serious. He took this real serious. He wanted everything to be above board and legal, that there would be no back talking, no, well, what's he doing marrying this girl, taking care of her? Remember, there's a big age difference too. Boaz and Ruth, there was a big age difference. I mean, if you do some studying, most scholars agree there's 25 to 35 years age difference. So it's a big age difference, him taking Ruth. Ruth was in her 20s. They say he's probably in his 50s. He's taking her own. He's going to provide for her and raise her up and under his covering and under his provision. And she'll be, and give her children, that the name will continue on, that family name. Remember, in this culture, family name was everything. Heritage and lineage. You know why in the Bible we read all those chapters? We skip, most time as churches, we skip all the ones that say, begat, 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 yeah, blah, 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 blah. All right, we skip those. But that begatten was very important, because they were establishing, what's the old saying, you don't know where you're going till you know where you came from? And so they always connected who begat who, because it was important. That lineage was so important. As we'll talk about here at the end of this chapter, we'll see how important this connection would become to us today. This ceremony, this shoe moment we're reading right now, is affecting us today. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, but it's affecting us today. All right, verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for you. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Amalek's and all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's in the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the gates of his place. You are witnesses this day. Now, this story, I know, can, if you didn't get it last week, you're missing a lot of the content of what's happening here. This was a covenant thing. It was an honorable thing. It was a custom thing to do. Boaz had no ill intentions. He wasn't going after her in any old man kind of way. And Ruth wasn't trying to get a sugar daddy free. All this was a covenant part of God's plan for both their lives to bring them together. And so now Boaz, before 10 witnesses, has declared his intentions to Ruth and to bringing, keeping the name of that alive. All the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come to your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did rebuild the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give this young woman." They were telling him, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the seed, let Israel become alive again with this heritage, with this seed." It's important to have seed to keep generations going. So important. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name..." Hey, stop dinging that, Brennan, please. Let's make it. Thank you. "He left not this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be like unto thee a restorer of thy life and nourishing of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth you, which is better to you than seven sons, hath borne him." Naomi took the child, the grandmother now, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi." And they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Think about this. The seed that Ruth bore with Boaz became, which is Obed. Then Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had King David. This lineage, this appointment was divinely ordained by God. There was no accident that Ruth followed her mother-in-law in that first chapter we read after her husband died. It was no accident she didn't stay in her homeland. It was no accident that she went to the same field where Boaz happened to be. It wasn't an accident that she caught Boaz's attention. It wasn't an accident that she followed Naomi's orders to the T. For all this to work out. It was no accident. All this was a divine appointment for the lineage of not just David to come forth, but who came out of the lineage of David? Christ. Jesus. The seed of Christ came out of the lineage of David. And so we are seeing the result of our future Messiah, the natural part of our Messiah, come out of the lineage from this story. From this very connection, from this very relationship that happened. This is why I truly believe that there aren't accidents. People say accident. There are no accidents. If we believe that God has ordered everything, we believe that the good and the bad is in the hands of God. We believe that when we can't see the answer, we still got to trust that God is part of the answer. Because he's doing something behind the scenes that maybe we can't see right now, that makes no sense to us right now, that seems unfair to us right now. But if we'll just hold on and wait until our Boaz moment develops, we'll look back and realize this is why I was on this path. And this is why I left this. And this is why I went through this. And this, God, is why I see it clearly, but we don't see it in the moment. But we can see it later when God fulfills it. So this lineage, this seed we're seeing where Ruth marries Boaz connects us now to the Messiah that came forth. Ruth had a choice to make in chapter 1. Her mother-in-law told her to stay. She was going to go back to her land for her to stay in her homeland. She says, "No, I won't leave you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. Who you serve, I'll serve. And now we are seeing the reward of Ruth's faithfulness. You never get a wrong result doing the right thing. I know in our human flesh, there are times we want to wring the neck out of our situation. And we think that's the right response. But if we'll just hang on and keep doing the right thing, God will honor that. I promise He honors the right thing. And I know that doing the right thing can seem so wrong in the right moment, if that makes any sense. I mean, because there's times we just want to react out of our flesh. You know, people love quoting the verse, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, da, 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 all that stuff. Let's just do the right thing. You never get a wrong result. Let me tell you something about Ruth that's interesting. Remember the culture that we're talking about here. She was a Moabitess. The Bible said that very clearly many times. She was a Moabitess from the country of Moab. There was three very strict things that the Israelites had against the Moabites. Three rules. And this too is this just gives a revelation of what Jesus really came and did. They were not allowed, if you were a Moabitess or Moabite, you were not allowed to assemble in worship with Israelites. In other words, you couldn't come to their church. You wasn't allowed. If you were a Moabitess, you could not assemble together in worship with the Jews. They didn't allow it. It gets worse. They didn't allow, if you were a Moabite, they wouldn't allow you to convert to Judaism. You couldn't even convert. They refused to allow you to convert to Judaism from what they were. So here we have, that's just two. Here we have Ruth, who was a Moabitess. And here's the third thing. They were forbidden to marry anyone that was a Moabite. So this story just shatters all of that, doesn't it? But what's the deeper revelation in this? Jesus came and died for all humanity. There is no separation in the kingdom of God by race or language or nation. There's no separation by religion. He came to die for all humanity. He is our Redeemer. He bought us back from death and hell and sin. He bought us back. And so as we read this beautiful story of what Boaz did, all the rules were kind of broken here in a sense. Nothing made sense. None of this should have happened. Ruth should have never have been able to serve their God. Ruth should have never been able to come to their prayer meetings. Ruth should have never been able to marry Boaz. But yet all this is happening, a divine appointment. God breaking the boundaries and breaking the borders and breaking all the junk that stood in the way between her and her victory. So many times, man, we put borders on things. We put binds on things. We put things in categories. And we say, you know, this can't happen this way and this can't happen this way because it's never happened that way before. And God did a brand new thing with Ruth's life. God had His hand on Ruth. This was a divine, on-purpose appointment. This marriage was supposed to be. This relationship was supposed to be. There's things in our lives that are on purpose. We don't see that. It's like it should be on purpose. How many times do we question ourselves? You know, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here. And I'm not saying we don't make stupid decisions that lead to some negative results. But if we really go back to this one thing, if we really, we can't believe what Romans 8:28 says if we don't really believe what it says. And it says this, all things work together for good to them who are called according to the purpose of God. So, that sounds great on certain things. But man, when tragedy hits, how do we quote that verse? God, all things work together for good. It's hard when tragedy strikes. It's hard when we're in despair. It's hard when we lose someone we love. It's hard when something happens in our lives that shakes our world. That verse is harder and harder to quote the more things we go through. But if we believe it part of the time, we've got to believe it all the time. And I've learned in my walk as a Christian, I've changed here. I'm going to tell you, I've changed here. where I'm living my life day by day, truly trusting that God knows what's best, even when I tell him that he don't. Even when I want to argue about it. Even when I say, well, God, you know, if you do it, I mean, to me, God, you're doing it kind of the long way around, you know, or God, if you do it the way I'm thinking, wouldn't that work, Lord? Can you imagine? Just sit down and shut up. Let me handle it. Remember that old actor? You bother me. Get out of my way, kid. You bother me. You bother me. I wonder how many times. You bother me. Just let me handle it. Just let me do it. We got to trust that God knows what he's doing. See, Ruth needed a Boaz, but Boaz also needed a Ruth. And that connection came together in God's timing. Who would have thought Boaz didn't wake up one day and says, you know what, I think I'll marry me a 30-year younger than me Moabite. I mean, that's out of the box. But that's what God's plan was. And I love how God's plan so frustrates our plans. Because every time we think we've got a, you know, hold of it, we got a grip of it, the old timer, you know, we got her in the road, God takes us off road. And we go 4x4 through the mud. We're like, what am I doing on this trail? This ain't where I want to be. I like the interstate. Put it on cruise about 75 and straight flat Nebraska kind of land. Not worry about nothing. No curve, no hills. Just flat, open, 80-mile-an-hour land. That's what I like. And sometimes God's got us, you know, going around the bend, around the mountains, down the valley. To grandma's house we go. I'm sorry. He got us going around there. You know, and I'm like, it's what I'm learning as a Christian, what I'm learning as a mature Christian is that the same God that's got me cruising in the moments that I like, it's the same God that has me in the crooked roads I don't like. And if I believe that God's really got me and he's really my Lord and Savior, I got to believe he's my Lord and Savior when I don't always feel that way, or I don't always see the victory, or I don't always know how it's going to turn out. I got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. When Joseph was in prison, God knew what he was doing. Because what happened after prison? He got promoted. When Daniel was in the lion's den, God knew what he was doing. What happened to Daniel? He got promoted. When David killed Goliath, and David was standing before that giant, he should have been killed, but he won the victory. What happened a few years later? David got promoted. God knows what he's doing. I know we question that so many times because life don't make sense. And I've learned I'm not going to try to justify why things happen because no one really can. I'm going to learn just to know that I am justified. And that's good enough for me. God, I trust you and I believe in you. And all the rules and all the protocol was broken in this story. It should have never happened, but it did. Just like Christ came to pay for our sins, he did that. The part of that song here under worship, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. We will never, ever know. Ever. We'll never experience the judgment that Christ experienced on our behalf. We'll never experience the torment that Christ experienced on our behalf. We'll never know truly what he went through for us. All the rules Jesus broke too, many of them he broke, not really like legal law rules, but he broke all the customary expectations he broke. Eating with sinners, talking to Samaritan women, you know, healing on the Sabbath, all the things that said you can't do, Jesus did. And when someone tells us, how could you possibly be saved? You say, because Jesus did it. Jesus saved me, period. And I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful for that. Ruth has a true Disney World experience. Boaz was a very wealthy man. Boaz was her prince, her knight in shining armor. And Boaz swept this young damsel off her feet, rescued her from her poverty, rescued her from her lack, rescued her from her barrenness heritage. He gave her finance, gave her a home, gave her a position, gave her children. gave her a future. And they lived happily ever after. A beautiful love story that dreams really do come true. And God had all of this planned. You know, we look back at Ruth's husband. He died in Moab. They were about 10 years and her husband died. That seems real unfair. At the time, I'm sure Ruth was very distraught and grieving. But that death brought a brand new birth. That death brought a brand new season. And so what I'm trying to say is, though things look dead sometimes, though we might go into a season that seems lifeless, even in that moment of lifeless, God is doing something. And the sun will come out again tomorrow. And though there is sorrow for the night, joy will come in the morning. We just got to trust God that He knows what He's doing. Ruth had no idea when she left Moab what to expect. She didn't know. She had no certainty of future. She had no security. She had no answers. She had nothing. She simply, by faith, left all that she knew to embark on something she knew nothing of. But all of that was God leading her to a place that she never would have got without leaving what was she comfortable with. Breaking the routine. We talked about that last week, how we break routine. Sometimes we've got to break the routine and do something we've never done before. The old saying, I learned this from Walmart, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. That's just good common sense. If you always do what you've always did, you'll always get what you've always got. So if you want something different, you got to do something different. The other daughter-in-law stayed back. I wonder what she thought. She got the letter by the camel. The camel brought the letter in the mail that week. The other loaded the two-hump camel and taken it in the mail post office. She gets a letter. Guess what, sis? I married a millionaire, and I'm pregnant, and I'm like a queen here. What? Can you imagine? I wish I'd have went. He'd like me better. I'm prettier than you, sis. You know, sis, probably wrote back, you know, sis, if I'd have went, he'd have picked me. I mean, think about that. She stayed back. Ruth went forward. We got a choice. We stay back or we move forward. We stay where we've always known, or we say, God, take me to where you want me to go. That's why I'm such a believer in spiritual things as God teaches us. I mean, there are some folks, they won't hear nothing you've got to say if it don't line up with what they've heard for 52 and a half years. They won't even hear you. Open our minds to hear what God is speaking to us today. What God's word is for today. What God's message is for today. You know, some churches have what they call, Old Timers Sunday? Is that what it's called, Old Timers? Whereby dresses up like, you know, right. Why don't you do that every day? Right. You wouldn't be caught dead in that. It's 2017, not 1913. I mean, that's a good time period, but aren't you glad you're not there now? No microwave, no internet, no cable TV, no cell phone, no electricity, no indoor bathroom, no hot water in the house. Oh, I live that way. Yeah, people say, yeah, let's see how long you make it. You'd be crying for mama after a week. Mama, help me. It's great to think about that time period. We talk about the good old days. Man, I see a 55 Chevy, and I think, boy, look at them old cars. Man, they don't make them like that. Oh, 55, and I'm just, you know, I mean, that's for my time, but I can appreciate it as a classic. 55 Chevy, wow, look at that thing. But you know what? I like power brakes, power steering, cold air conditioning, GPS, sunroof, power windows, power locks. I like to crank my car with a key and not do this. I know 55 wasn't like that. I'm just saying. I am glad we progressed. Think about it. Me and I talk about this all day. We love Little House on the Prairie. You know, that's a great show. It's a great show. But man, them people live rough. Chopping wood and plowing 40 acres. And I mean, my Lord. Can you imagine if that was really your life every day? I mean, some of you live that. My dad grew up on a farm, and my dad grew up doing a lot of that stuff. And man, alive. Aren't you glad for a thermostat now, Dad? Just click, it's on. That beast chopping wood, don't it? 25 degrees outside. Man. So when it comes to spiritual things, my whole point in saying all that is this. When it comes spiritually, God has things today. Just like with Ruth. That shouldn't happen with Ruth. Boaz shouldn't have married her. Boaz shouldn't have been a part of her life. But God ordained that for that purpose and that season and that lineage for David to come. See, Ruth became David's, King David's great-grandmother. Great-great-grandmother. I believe it was. But Ruth became David's great-great-grandmother. This little Moabitess, this evil enemy, paganistic, dark nation the Jews despised, out of that heritage became the greatest king of their nation. Isn't that funny how God's like, watch this. You don't like the Moabitesses? The Moabites and that, just watch, the greatest king will come out of there. It's amazing how that lineage produced from Ruth began to produce the next king of Israel. So sometimes the rules may be broken far as our carnal thinking and what we've always held on to, and it's time that we allow God to say, Lord, what, man. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. For thousands of years, everybody really thought the world was flat, didn't they? They thought it was flat. And then we learned different. How many times have we looked for a year, we've held on to things, thinking that was truth, and then revelation comes forth? It doesn't mean that we were ignorant in that season. It just means it wasn't revealed to us in that season. A 5-year-old child is not going to have the knowledge that a 15-year-old child has. They're both equally children. They're both equally important. And one may barely be able to say the alphabet or part of the alphabet, and the other one can say it in Spanish at 15. It's because it's not been revealed yet to the 15-year-old, that knowledge. As we continue to grow day by day in the Lord, let the Holy Spirit lead and speak and guide you. And just because someone, and even I've said this many times a year, just because I say something, don't ever go to Walmart and say, well, James Lewis said, no, you got to know it for yourself. You got to let God confirm it to you that this is truth. Here's what God's Word says. Here's what His Word says. Just like for years here, we've been talking about the message of grace. We've been talking about grace, and for years, that message was veiled to me. I couldn't ever see past my works. For years, I couldn't see past everything that I did made a difference in my righteousness. And then God began to take the blinders off and begin to open up all these powerful, beautiful scriptures, hundreds of them, that talk about the grace of Jesus, the grace of God. All these verses begin, all of a sudden became alive. And what happens is, just like with the Jewish people and the legalistic law, they stay stuck in that, and that's all they stay in. And there's no room for light to come in. There's no room for truth to come in. There's nothing wrong with saying I was wrong or I was misinformed or God has shown me something different on this or I've got a revelation on this. There's nothing wrong in that. There's something about moving forward with God that'll set you free. The more you move forward with God, it'll set you free. I was talking to a guy Sunday night, and for those of you who came to our singing Sunday night, appreciate the support. Brother Roseboro called me Monday and thanked the church for a very generous love offering and just said he just loved the spirit in the church and felt such a warm, loving spirit here, and he just was really blessed by the congregation. But I was talking to someone else, it wasn't him, someone else in the fellowship hall that night, and they were talking, they go to the church, and they were talking about, they're looking at our new building, and they said, man, this building is beautiful. Oh, I just love this beautiful building. He said, man, we've been trying for 12 years to get something like this built, and they won't do nothing. We got these old deacon elders that want everything to stay exactly the same. They don't want to change nothing. We've been trying to get a building, trying to grow. It says they won't move. They like it like it is. I understand we got certain things. I know that. I like sweet tea. I'm probably never going to change that. They cannot invent a better beverage to me than sweet tea. Can't see it happening. Maybe in the future something will come that'll make me forget sweet tea. But right now, that's my thing, okay? Sweet tea, I got it. I'm a sweet tea drinker. That's my thing. But when it comes to moving forward with the things of God, to stay put and say, I like just the things the way they are, man, we're disservicing the kingdom by not allowing his kingdom to grow and life to be changed, for life to be transformed by the growing movement of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad Ruth left Moab. I'm thankful she fought her mother-in-law for whatever reason. And the very beginning doesn't really tell us why she left. She had a love for mother-in-law, apparently. She probably felt an obligation. Maybe she was the older of her sister. She felt an obligation to take care of her mother-in-law since she lost her husband as well. I'll take care of your mother-in-law. And probably that's what it was. She felt an obligation to serve her mother-in-law. And look what God did. Ruth got her reward. Ruth got a reward. In the end, she got a reward because of her faithfulness, because she loved her mother-in-law, she trusted her, and she followed her. You're never wrong doing the right thing. You're never wrong doing the right thing. And man, I know it's hard. Oh, it's hard. Beautiful story of redemption. And this story is a type and shadow of our Redeemer in Christ, who came, who fulfilled the law, established grace, and he redeemed us and calls us his children. We are his heritage. We belong to him. We're part of the seed of Christ. And I'm thankful for that. So thankful. Anybody got any comments tonight about the message or about Ruth in general? Just 4 chapters here, but what a powerful, beautiful story in these 4 chapters. That's a good thought. That's a very good thought.
Who knows? Half of that stuff may have been delayed by hundreds, maybe even thousands of years if she didn't make that one decision.
That one decision did change the course of history. Our decisions are powerful. They're very powerful. And that's why that we have to trust God with our decisions and give them to God and let him lead us. It's a good point, Brendan. You do listen back there. I'm proud of you. Anybody else? Good to see you, Paula, tonight, and your daughter. Your ROTC girl. Or you want to do military when you graduate? All right. All these kids going to military, I tell you. It's awesome. All right, everybody good? Want to remind you, we've got our fall festival coming up Saturday. Nikki's so excited she can't contain herself. She's just all choked up about the fall festival. I mean, she just, man. But it's going to be fun. It'll be in the fellowship hall this year, the inside part. Brandon have all that set up with gaming booths and all that good stuff for the kids. Then we'll have a big bonfire, so everybody bring your food with you, and we'll sit around and do that. That's always a really fun time. And then we'll have the hayride back in the trail. It's already been cut, and I'll be driving that, and it's going to be fun, that little hayride this year. So invite people you know to come out, your friends, and another member. Saturday night starts at 6 o'clock. We got 6 to 8, but normally it goes past 8 because the bonfire, we're sitting out, hanging out, talking, so there's really no end time to it. When I get tired, I'll go home, and I'll just put the fire out and leave, but no end time to it. So it starts at 6 o'clock. So come out and be a part of that Saturday night. I seen they were calling rain. Is it early that day or late that night, or have y'all seen any weather for Saturday? I've got a glimpse about rain Saturday. Does anybody know? Really? Like during the daytime? Yeah, I hope so. I don't want it to rain. That won't be fun. We can't do a bonfire inside the fellowship hall. Yeah, let's hope it don't rain. But anyway, hopefully it won't. But got that planned, so we're excited about that. And don't forget, Bruce will be here November 22nd, the day before Thanksgiving, that Wednesday night. Bruce will be here doing a singing that Wednesday night. So looking forward to that as well. So, all right. Well, if y'all are good, we'll stand up, I guess, and be dismissed.